Hello, we are back and better than ever. Time for some more knowledge to be dropped on you. It's been a while since we had a lesson, and it's been a while since I got laid, so we're just gonna party and learn about sauropods today. They're great because they're like the dinosaur version of giraffes. So we'll start with this is in chapter 8 in sauropods. Their design, Sauropoda, getting really big takes some serious evolution. Oh, by the way, I will tell you when I'm putting my toy in. Right now, I'm just playing with it, just without having it turned on, just moving it up and down. Getting really big takes some serious evolution, and sauropods were really big dinosaurs. Yet, the sophisticated sauropod design, once it appeared, remained unique and little changed during their 140 million years on Earth. The skull itself was distinctive. The urethra was not inset as the ones in mammalian and ornithischian herbivores. Teeth, depending on the sauropod, had simple crowns and were triangular, spatulate, or slender and pencil-like. There's even a tendency in the clade to limit the teeth to the front of the jaws. In most cases, there's not even a complete mouthful of teeth, let alone the dental batteries seen in other dinosaur and herbivores. The obvious conclusion is that chewing was not a big part of life as a sauropod. Oh, I'm gonna turn on my little toy now that it's inside me. Turn it on to speed 2, I think. Sauropod skulls tend to be delicately built with large openings. The skulls appear absurdly tiny until you realize that only an idiot would wear a large, heavy skull at the end of an extremely long neck. The external nares, instead of residing at the tip of the snout, had an as yet unexplained phylogenetic tendency to migrate upward toward the top of the head. Extremely long neck turns out to have been made up of a complex system of girders and air pockets that maximized lightness and strength. Distinctive in sauropods were the Y-shaped neural arches on the vertebrae. These held the knuckle alignment, an elastic rope of connective tissue that ran down the back of the animal and supported the head and neck so that it was not held exclusively by muscles. I'm moving in and out fast. It feels so fucking good. Sauropods were quadrupeds, having secondarily evolved a quadrupedal stance from their bipedal ancestors. The limbs were pillar-like and would have done a Greek temple proud. The bones are composed of denser material than that found in the upper parts of the skeleton and adaptation, locating the weight and strength in the skeleton where it is most needed. The hind limbs articulated with an immense, robust pelvis. The forefeet, the hands, as it were, on the forelimbs, were digitigrade, which means that the animal was standing on its fingertips. Oh, that's interesting. The fingers were arranged in nearly symmetrical horseshoe-shaped semicircle, and the first digit, the thumb, carried a large claw. By contrast, the hind feet were semi-plantigrade, which means that the animal's weight was supported along the length of its toe bones. The foot was asymmetrical and generally had three large claws on it. Sometimes the trackways revealed the impression of a heel pad, which nested behind the claws and both of the fore and hind feet, and support of the body as well. Sauropod footprints are immense, a single print not uncommonly spanning as much as a meter. I'm gonna add my big toy in a second.
Despite the fact that the trunk of sauropods was relatively broad, although not as proportionately broad as that seen in Ankylosaurus. Oh, Ankylosaurus were so dumb, their brains were tiny. Most sauropod trackways tend to be quite narrow, with the feet aligned toward the midline of the body. More significantly, relatively few trackways include a tail drag mark, providing strong evidence that many sauropods carried their immense whip-like tails as long as 15 meters in the longest cases entirely off the ground. Okay, we're gonna add the big toy. We'll see how long we get from here. Okay. Thoughts of a sauropod. This section will necessarily be quite short because on brain size alone, sauropods did not have obvious pretensions to deep thought. The fact is that sauropods had the smallest brains for their body size and the lowest EQs of any dinosaur, yet their long successful record of survival speaks volumes. As we shall see, their behavioral repertoire may have been more sophisticated than one might expect for an animal who's proportionately so small a brain. I can move my little toy in and out while the big toy gets my clit. Oh, fuck. Lifestyles of the huge and ancient, a place to roam. When we find the remains of these magnificent animals, they come from a myriad different environments. They come from myriad different environments, from river floodplains to sandy deserts. Some environments, such as those of the Upper Jurassic Morrison Formation in the American West, required sauropods to cope with long dry seasons during the year. Annual droughts may have been severe enough to force sauropods to migrate, a point to which we will return when considering sauropod herding. Okay, ready for the big toy again. Oh, shit. At Tandaguru, in southeastern Tanzania, as well as in the USA, in northeast Texas, the famous Glen Rose Trackway sites, and in Maryland, where the remains of the brachiosaurid Astrodon have been uncovered, there is strong evidence that these environments were once close to the sea and quite humid. Perhaps these were some of the conditions that sauropods found most congenial. For many years, reconstructions commonly showed sauropods as swamp dwellers with their great bulk buoyed up by the water. In this way, so the story went, they could have remained deeply submerged, breathing with only their hind nostrils poking out of the water. But what evidence is there for this? Paleontologists have examined the barometric consequences. That is the changes in atmospheric pressure that would occur by emerging a sauropod. Because the thorax invertebrates the part of the body between the neck and the stomach, and hence the lungs, would be under a column of water some 6 or more meters deep. The thorax would be under nearly double the pressure it would experience on land. This would tend to push whatever air was in the lungs out of the body. However, the next breath might be taken. That is hard to say. Since the lungs would need to be expanded against pressures beyond those experienced in any vertebrate. Unless sauropods had exceedingly powerful chest muscles, they would have been unable to inhale. Yes, hello, cars. In fact, close study of sauropod habitats and anatomy gives no evidence that sauropods whiled away their balmy days buoyed up in Mesozoic swamps. Our best evidence supported by biochemical studies of sauropod limbs is that the dense bone, massive and pillar-like limbs were designed for fully terrestrial locomotion. I can't read. I need to come. I'm so close. Please let me go. with a little twist still in. Ah! Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. Oh, God. Oh, I need to come so bad. I need to come so bad. Oh, I'm going to turn the little toy up. Not that it really matters now, but... Oh, fuck. Oh, oh, I need to come so bad. Oh, please. Please let me come. Please let me come. Oh, 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 fuck. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. GWA. Oh, fuck. Oh, I gotta turn it off. Oh, whoops. Turn it off too well. Turn it back on. Oh, fuck. Oh, well. Thanks for listening.